Sun's Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Sweden defeated Switzerland Tuesday 1-0 in St. Petersburg, Russia, to advance to the quarterfinals at the World Cup football tournament. Emil Forsberg was named man of the match after his goal in the 66th minute. The 26-year-old Forsberg was billed as Sweden's big star going into the World Cup, but he had endured a difficult tournament up to now, receiving his fair share of criticism from fans. The Leipzig playmaker found space on the edge of the box, and he fired low, seeing his shot deflect wickedly off Swiss defender Manuel Akanji and into the goal. With time running out, the Swiss tried to equalize, and striker Haris Seferovic saw his headed effort well saved by Swedish goaltender Robin Olsen. The Swedes were awarded a penalty near the end of the match, but after review by the video assistant referee, the foul was determined to be outside the penalty area. Final score from St. Petersburg, Russia. Sweden 1, Switzerland 0. And for the first time since 1994, Sweden has reached the World Cup quarterfinals. The Swedes will next play the winner of Tuesday's second World Cup match between Colombia and England in Moscow. That game kicks off at 1800 UTC GMT. Meanwhile, Belgium and Brazil booked their tickets to the quarterfinals with victories on Monday. Joining us now from St. Petersburg with an update is our Daybreak Africa sportsman, Samson Omale.
Today is day 20 in the ongoing soccer fiesta in Russia, and the excitement is building as we barely have 10 more games left to play in the 2018 World Cup.
Courtois safely grabbed. And there's just time for De Bruyne to lead this attack. Japan desperate to cover the spaces. They can't do so for the moment. Lukaku, and here's a winner! Chadli strokes Belgium into a quarterfinal against Brazil.
Brazil and Belgium are the latest countries to book their tickets for the quarterfinals of this year's Summer World Cup in Russia. Neymar and Firmino were on target as Brazil beat Mexico 2-0 in their World Cup last 16 clash on Monday.
It is Neymar, clever back heel to Willian, into the area. Willian, Brazil scores! Play from Willian in particular there, and the occasion is illuminated by the Brazilian goal.
Mexico coach Juan Carlos Osorio hit out a superstar Neymar for acting following an incident in the second half.
It's a very little contact, and every single time the referee stops the game, the referee has a lot to do with it. Too many calls and allows for too many faking fouls.
Brazil will now face Belgium, who also moved through after surviving a scare against gallant Japan. Belgium fought back from 2 goals down to beat Japan 3-2 with an added time goal from substitute Nasir Chadli. Belgium became the first side to recover from a 2-goal deficit to win a World Cup knockout match since Germany beat England 3-2 after extra time in Mexico in 1970. Belgium were run ragged by Japan's side, solid in defense and willing to probe deep. Eden Hazard, who was named man of the match, said the Belgian side is yet to consider themselves as potential champions of the tournament.
It's too early to say that we can be champion. We have the capacity, we have the players to win trophies, so we never know. But now we need to think about this game. The game was very tough. We never give up, even after the 2-0 down. Great reaction from the boys yeah, just proud to play for Belgium today.
In Tuesday's fixture, England is in action against Colombia in the last of the round of 16 games. England's Dele Alli is available for selection again after missing the group matches against Panama and Belgium. Manager Gareth Southgate is set to recall the players he rested against the Belgians, including captain Harry Kane, who has 5 goals so far.
We have a very difficult opponent, a very good side who we respect, and we've got to concentrate on our football, playing in the style that we have right the way through the tournament, playing with the same mentality, and make sure that we show the resilience that's required, but also the play with the freedom that we've played with up to this point. And, you know, the thing I want more than anything else is for the players to continue to attack the tournament as we have.
I am Samson Omale in St. Petersburg, Russia.
Thanks, Samson. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Meanwhile, World Cup fans from around the globe are giving a thumbs up to the hospitality shown by Russians during the month-long International Football Festival. Let's hear from a few of those fans now. They come from Japan, Australia, England, and Brazil. First up, Brazilian fan Cassiano Alimioli.
Well, the best thing about Russia up to now is the people are so warm and they are so welcoming. Everyone should come here and meet these people because they are the best. Everything else is really great.
Well, the whole thing's different. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the English, I had texts and phone messages saying keep safe, so the perception was this could be a bit dangerous, but actually right from the start it was clear it was really pleasant vibe. The people have been lovely, safe, probably safer than Nottingham, to be perfectly honest with you. I go wandering around wherever I went down 11 o'clock last night down on the metro, it's just no problem. It's a really pleasant place, lovely
people, are really welcoming, very friendly. We've been so lucky to, you know, have the experience we've had so far, and you know, the expectations that, you know, that we had, it's just been exceeded. So it's been really, really enjoyable.
The kindness is Russian people. When I first time came to Moscow, and one person, one businessman, helped me and in the metro, in the subway. I lost in Soviet.
That's Japanese World Cup fan Omine Atsushi, and he was speaking in Rostov-on-Don, Russia, where Japan lost to Belgium Monday 3-2 in a World Cup round of 16 match. Great comeback by the Belgians as they rallied from a 2-0 deficit to advance to the World Cup quarterfinals. In more World Cup news, Nigerian police say they've rescued the father of John Obi Mikel, who captained Nigeria's football team at Russia 2018. The elder Obi was kidnapped on his way from the central part of Nigeria to the southeast. Iron Mike Mbonye reports from Lagos.
Father of Mikel Obi, by Michael Obi, is a businessman based in Jos in the central part of Nigeria. He was traveling to Enugu in the southeast part of the country on June 29 when some gunmen stopped his Toyota Prado Jeep and seized him and his driver. The gunmen made a ransom demand of 10 million naira or $28,000 for their release. The police in Enugu were alerted about an abandoned car along the highway without any trace of robbery. The police subsequently commenced investigation to find out what happened to the car. Ebere Marayuzu is the spokesman of the police in Enugu State. He says the police did not know the identity of the victims when they commenced the rescue operation.
At first, it was not stated whether it was Pavikiel Obi or not, because we just got a report that one vehicle was parked along a certain highway. That's Enugu Makonde Road and all that. So we suspected that it could be one of the modus or how it happened, since it's not robbery, but there was no report on that. But we just suspected, and from there, information started trickling in because we were also getting intelligence. So based on this, the Commissioner of Police directed for action to be taken. And in this direction, were able to get the victim, I will let her, or identified as per Michael Obi. That's Michael Obi, the father of the football star, Helen Hattie, with the driver.
Amarizu says per Michael Obi and his driver were freed and hurt on July 2 in a forest in Egedeudi by the police. He says during the rescue operation, the police were careful about the safety of the victims.
It was not just easy because a gun dweller also ensued between our operatives. We will close the hall because we are working on intelligence that we have got, intelligence information that I've gathered. That was what guided us to do that. So we were able to move this threat, close the hall there. And the resistance that ensued was also overpowered. And we are just very much careful so that Vicky's father was not touched.
The spokesman also says, though no arrest has been made, the police were on the heels of the kidnappers because some of them were hit by bullets during the rescue operation. Meanwhile, the Enugu State Commissioner of Police, Damala Mohammed, ordered for a medical checkup of the victims, and they were later confirmed hale and hearty. Pa Michael Obi thanked the police for rescuing him and his driver. He said in his words, "I'm alive and healthy. I thank the Commissioner of Police and the police operatives on the Air Force which led to our rescue." This is Mike Mbonye for VOA News in Lagos.
Thanks, Iron Mike. Meanwhile, Iron Mike Mbonye reports Nigerian football fans in Lagos State have been watching World Cup matches in Russia at public viewing centers. Babatunde Bank Anthony is Director General of the Lagos State Sports Commission. Iron Mike asked him about the viewing centers.
Lagos State government has set up 8 viewing centers in partnership with Budweiser, Daira Breweries, Nigeria.
What's the aim of setting up these viewing centers?
The same aim is not anywhere in the world. It's more of a fan park to bring people close to the tournament. And we know that most of us here, not everybody can afford the satellite decoder. So it's a way of reducing the burden and enabling our people to have access to the big tournaments going on in Russia. And as you're aware, some of these mini centers who will broadcast this thing out are charging a fee. So there's an economic benefit to it as well. At the end of the day, our people are coming out there to bond together, to watch football together. Nigeria is crazy about football. Lagos is a footballing city. So what we are doing there, and we are glad the international breweries came to partner with us and believe in these viewing centers, and very tight security, medical, safety, insurance, all in place.
Nigeria is out of the World Cup. Will the viewing centers remain open?
Definitely. The show goes on. When we are setting up the viewing center with the governor's view, Akinwumi Ambode, we know we are not going to win the World Cup. We know that quite all right. But we still make sure that dream, that idea became a reality. So Nigeria leaving the World Cup, the show goes on. Viewing centers remain open till the end of the tournament. In the same manner, security, safety, insurance, that awareness, and that friendship continues there.
Can you give me an idea of what the ambience looks like when the game is on?
I can't really put it in words, but I would love probably come back. Even for today's match, I believe yesterday was a bit quiet after we were out of the tournament, but England and Belgium, don't forget that one of the biggest plays, the EPL, is really thriving, is in Nigeria. So I know Nigerians will be out there to watch England play. So the ambience is electric. I can tell you, it is electric. Most people would rather come and sit down in the viewing centers in Mushi, Ajegunle, Ekpe, Ikorodu, Badagry, Campus, and here. It's electric.
For future tournaments that are not as big as the World Cup, are the viewing centers going to be set up too?
Well, there's a possibility because this is once in 4 years. This is unique, right? This is so different that we believe we owe it an obligation to Lagosians, to Nigerians, to key to this thing and bring it closer to our people. Possibility of Nations Cup in January, possibility exists. It exists. I can tell you that. And we will look further than that. When we have bigger tournaments that Nigerians are into, football is our game here. So we are passionate about it. And I hope when there is a need for such again, we shall present to the governor and we expect him to support us accordingly.
That's Babatunde Bank Anthony, the Director General of the Lagos State Sports Commission. And he spoke with reporter Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. If you're just tuning in now to the VOA, Sweden defeated Switzerland Tuesday 1-0 in St. Petersburg, Russia, to advance to the quarterfinals at the World Cup football tournament. Emil Forsberg was named man of the match after his goal in the 66th minute. The Swedes are through to the World Cup quarterfinals for the first time since 1994. They'll next play the winner of Tuesday's second World Cup match between Colombia and England. That game kicks off at 1800 UTC GMT in Moscow. In more football news, an English star has officially made his move to Major League Soccer. Joining us now with that story is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. On Monday, the mayor of Washington, D.C. declared July 2nd Wayne Rooney Day. The English soccer star has made the move from Everton to join D.C. United. In a news conference right here in the nation's capital, Rooney said he's looking forward to playing in North America.
New challenge, new staff, new everything is new to me. The new city, new place to live. So it's new, but I need to embrace it. I will embrace it, and it's a challenge for me, and I look forward to that challenge.
The 32-year-old is one of England's most successful players and has won nearly every soccer award except a World Cup. But when a reporter asked him if he would feel gutted if England won the title without him, Rooney promptly dismissed the question.
No, I'd be delighted if you win. And I think that question is unfair, to be honest. I think you're asking me if I'd be gutted if England win a World Cup. I'm from England. I'm an England fan. And I want England to win, so I don't think the question is a good one.
Do you think this year could be the year?
I hope so, I think. But the team seems to be playing with a lot of confidence, a lot of energy, and a lot of freedom. So hopefully if we do that, then we can go on and win it.
Rooney has already started practice and is focused on DC United's inaugural match in a brand spanking new stadium on July 14th. The team currently sits in last place in the Eastern Conference, and Rooney is quoted as saying, "I can help them." Moving on to Wimbledon tennis, I mentioned yesterday that Roger Federer announced his return to Wimbledon with a straight sets victory over Serbia's Dusan Lajovic. What I didn't mention was Federer walked onto center court wearing his new Uniqlo endorsement. After Monday's match, Federer said it felt good to be back at Wimbledon and to sport his new sponsor.
I'm happy to be back at Wimbledon. I was really able to enjoy the match out there because I got off a good start, and when you get off a good start in set one and two, you're able to just enjoy the moment more than when you're struggling early on, you know, especially at the tournament. There's always pressure and nerves when you go into a first round. And also I was excited to wear Uniqlo today. I must tell you, it's been a long time coming, and I felt very good out there, and it's also crucial to play well, so it was helpful.
Federer made his debut with a red and white square Uniqlo brand on his chest, not the familiar Swish Nike logo he's worn since 1997. Federer signed with the Japanese company in March after his contract with Nike expired. The new deal is reportedly worth more than $300 million over 10 years. Federer still has a deal with Nike to wear their shoes, but the Uniqlo patch will show promise prominently on his jacket, shirt, headband, and socks. Your next chance to see it will be on Wednesday for his match against Lukas Lacko of Slovakia. On the women's side, Serena Williams defeated Dutch player Arantxa Rus 7-5, 6-3 to reach the second round. Serena has entered the tournament considered by many as the woman to beat, despite her ranking of 181. After Monday's match, Serena told reporters she is not back to simply make up her numbers in the women's field.
I have such high expectations of myself, and I expect to go out there and I expected to win this match. You know, I don't go out there expecting to do well and, you know, see what happens. That's just not me. And so, and not only do I expect to win, I expect to win emphatically. So sometimes, like I said, I put too much pressure on myself and I'm over anxious. And it's really just about learning that balance for me.
Last month, Serena dropped out of the French Open with an arm injury that affected her serve. Serena said her serve has since improved and she hopes she will get better as the tournament progresses.
I took a lot of time off with serving. I didn't serve at all, and I took some time off of tennis as well, but I just started serving when I got here. But I think as time will go on, I think it'll get better. And my arm is doing much better, but my serve is a little playing catch up, but it's doing better than I could have hoped, to be honest. So it's all on the right track.
Serena has not lost a Wimbledon since the third round in 2014. Her next match will be against Victoria Tomova of Bulgaria on Wednesday. And that's all from me. Back over to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. During Monday's show, Gwen reported on LeBron James and how LeBron is leaving the Cleveland Cavaliers and heading west to join the Los Angeles Lakers. The deal reportedly is for 4 years and $154 million. Wow, I think LeBron could probably challenge Roger Federer when it comes to contracts and endorsements. Well, the Golden State Warriors, the reigning NBA champions, they weren't content to let LeBron have the spotlight. They went out and signed free agent center DeMarcus Cousins to a one-year, $5.3 million deal. So it's 1 year, and Cousins, already an all-star center, will join the reigning NBA champions. And if he comes back healthy, and I'll get into that in just a second, the Warriors would have five, count them, five all-stars in their starting lineup. But again, there are question marks about the health of DeMarcus Cousins. He tore his Achilles tendon last year, and he's not expected to be back on the court until December or even January of 2019. But the Warriors bolstering their lineup as the Los Angeles Lakers bolster theirs with LeBron James. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. If you're just tuning in now to the VOA, Sweden defeated Switzerland Tuesday 1-0 in St. Petersburg, Russia, to advance to the quarterfinals at the World Cup football tournament. Emil Forsberg was named man of the match after his goal in the 66th minute. The Swedes advanced to the World Cup quarterfinals for the first time since 1994. They'll play either Colombia or England in a quarterfinal on July 7th in Samara, Russia. Colombia and England are playing in the second World Cup match on Tuesday. That game kicks off at 1800 UTC GMT. And after hearing Wayne Rooney in Gwen Uten's report, I gotta believe Wayne will probably be cheering for England to win that match against Colombia. Go Wayne Rooney as we welcome him to Washington. And that wraps up the July 3rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to VOA producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Sidrak Franklin. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In an effort to open markets and increase business opportunities for entrepreneurs in both the United States and Africa, U.S. Undersecretary of Commerce for International Trade Gilbert Kaplan launched a fact-finding mission in June with members of the President's Advisory Council on Doing Business in Africa in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. Chaired by the Secretary of Commerce, Wilbur Ross, the Council advises the President on ways to strengthen commercial engagement between the United States and Africa. Undersecretary Kaplan led a group of representatives from 14 Advisory Council member firms, as well as officials from 11 U.S. government agencies, on a four-nation visit that also included Kenya, Cote d'Ivoire, and Ghana. The trip served as a fact-finding tour for the Advisory Council. The members gathered country-specific information in preparation to making recommendations to President Donald Trump regarding the best way to spur the development of capital markets, transparent and value-based procurement processes, and workforce development. The delegation met with Ethiopian government officials, leaders of state-owned enterprises, and representatives of American and Ethiopian private companies to explore opportunities for increased cooperation. The United States seeks to strengthen economic ties with Ethiopia and remains focused on supporting efforts to create a conducive environment for private sector growth that will lead to broad-based economic prosperity and increased opportunities for both our countries. The United States government and senior U.S. business leaders are serious about enhancing commercial engagement with Ethiopia. As the fastest-growing and fifth-largest economy in sub-Saharan Africa, Ethiopia can become a significant economic and trade partner for the United States, said Undersecretary Kaplan. This visit will help all of us to better understand this dynamic and developing economic market and provide insight on how our great nation can support and participate in the great processes that are happening here.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, an in-depth discussion on the 31st African Union Summit underway in Mauritania. The 2018 theme is Winning the Fight Against Corruption, a Sustainable Path to Africa's Transformation.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. VOA. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5 minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African Beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, Afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Sporty greetings to all our VOA listeners. This is Sonny Young, host of The Sunny Side of Sports. Please join me at 16:30 and 18:30 UTC, Monday through Friday, for special World Cup updates during the month-long football festival in Russia. Right here on The Voice of America.